This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:36 a.m., you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Jensen. Let's turn our attention to transportation, or perhaps the lack thereof in terms of coherent policy in the country. It has come into focus again after the newly appointed, but second-time Transport Minister Anthony Lok spent his first official day at work taking the Kelana Jaya LRT line at 5 p.m. during peak time, and he did so without informing the top management of Prasarana Malaysia.
Pictures of him masked and in a cap were all over social media, which also showed packed train carriages. After the spot check, he announced that he will be meeting with senior management of the LRT line to find ways to overcome its service issues. So what should be the top priorities of the newly minted Minister of Transport? And how can we improve transport system planning in Malaysia?
For reactions and recommendations, we speak to Dr. Rosli Khan, transport consultant. Rosli, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, Anthony Lok, as said, is serving as the Minister of Transport for the second time. Could we maybe get a look back at to his first term in the office? And what do you expect his policy to be vastly different this time around?
Hi. Good morning, Bieber Free Music. Thank you for having me. yes, I think the new minister is doing much better than the first time around.
It's only been 3 days, though, Rosli.
Yeah. But I think he has taken the right step. Started with the right foot, unlike PH1. So this time around, I think you can see that he has got a bit more experience. So, he knows where the problems are. LRT, which, you mentioned just now that he took LRT, Kelana Jaya LRT, during peak period. And he did very well as far as PR is concerned. But I would like to point out one point here. LRT, which is owned by Prasarana, has their own chairman and board of directors, as well as management. And I think it's only appropriate that when they fail to deliver the services to the public, the chairman and the board of directors should take responsibility by resigning from their respective posts. They don't have to wait until the minister to tell them to do so. So they should be more accountable, take the responsibility for things that have happened in the past where they fail. So that's what I think.
And Rosli, in the past few months, train services in the Klang Valley, they've been experiencing congestion and reliability issues with the Kelana Jaya LRT line 16 station closed for a few days. With that, what should be Anthony Lok's top priorities for the urban train system?
Well, LRT, they don't operate in a vacuum because there are other services that are needed to service the public transport. One of which is the KTMB commuter lines. So what's happening now, because of the delay in the refurbishment of the lines of KTM commuter by the previous minister, Anthony Lok actually, continued with the contract, KBDT2, if you recall, but the minister after him cancelled the contract. So we were faced with a delay in the refurbishment of KTMB lines, and therefore the commuters could not use KTMB commuter. You must remember that 140,000 passengers daily use KTM commuter before it was put on hold for the refurbishment. So where do these passengers go to? So they have got no choice but to either to use LRT, which is running in parallel with KTMB line, or they have to go back to the road. And the road, you can see that the roads are also congested because of this shortfall in the public service for the Klang Valley.
Okay, Dr. Rossi, I have a more holistic question. Do you think in the first place our urban rail transportation model is flawed since fares collected will never be sufficient to cover OPEX and we keep hearing about maintenance issues again and again?
No, it's you can never make it profitable. That's why I think, by the way, KTMB, Prasarana, MRT, and so on, they are owned by MOF. So I think the philosophy behind this operation is that they are run like another GLC. You know, you cannot run public transportation like you run banking services, you know, where you make a lot of money, you make profit, you reward your CEO with high salaries and so on. So it cannot happen with LRT or other services, public transport services. You should appoint somebody who is technically competent to run these public services. You cannot have a CEO who draw a high level salary compared to other GLCs. So what does the CEO do?
So
he doesn't understand the technical aspect of running train, running public services, public transportation. So he should be technically competent. So that is the first thing that the MOF should do in running these services. Identify the technically competent people to run the show.
So what about funding, Dr. Rosli? Then should it be funded by the MOF? Should we see this as a form of social service?
Yeah, this is precisely, this is public transportation, it's social services. So MOF should budget, you know, put in the annual budget, you know, to cover the operating costs. The infrastructure has been borne by the government. So there's no way the government is going to recover from the infrastructure costs. So the operating costs, I think every year there are shortfalls in the operating budget. So the government has to look for funds to pay for the operating costs. But I remember many years ago, I think during the Abdullah Badawi time, he channeled the income from road tax to the public transportation services. I do not know whether they are still doing that or they have taken out that policy away.
Rosli, I'd like to take a step back and looking at the broader policy ecosystem when it comes to transport. Could you maybe talk us through the different ministries that play a role in transport infrastructure and policies and how that's affected transport planning in the country?
Well, yeah, you have got Ministry of Transport that look after the registration of vehicles in the country. You have got them to look after this aviation sector. And you look, and they also look after the marine sector, marine department, and the port authorities, and so on. But when it comes to public transportation, all the operating companies are put under MOF, incorporated. So the minister responsible for public transportation effectively is the Ministry of Finance. And then you have got these local authorities that also get involved in the provision for public services, namely, you know, all the bus stops, taxi stops, and planning for local requirement for public transportation system and all that, and also the road system, which are managed through the local authorities. And these local authorities, as we know, is under the Kementerian Perumahan dan Kerajaan Tempatan. So, and then you have got special case in the case of KL, DBKL, so they look after the provision for public transportation within KL, Putrajaya and Labuan. So there are overlapping responsibilities, role and responsibilities among all these ministries. And unless you coordinate the activities well, then you run into problems. You know, Ministry of Work is another ministry that they are involved in the provision of roads and highways. So that's what I pointed out in my recent article about the how they don't coordinate among themselves, mm-hmm. you know, to come up with the right policy and right strategy to tackle road accidents.
And Dr. Rosli, in your column with FMT, you highlighted the urgent need to tackle the high number of accidents and deaths on roads. What are the steps that need to be taken to address this matter?
Well, I touched on a very basic technical point, which is the, you know, JPJ is the one who approved the dimension of vehicles that are allowed to run on Malaysian roads. So the point here is that, you know, we have got large vehicles that measures up to 2.85 meter in width that are approved by JPJ. So effectively, together, if you take the wing mirrors of these vehicles, they measure about 3.1 meter in width. Now, I think it is not rocket science to understand that when you have vehicles of 3.1 meter, the lane that you design for any roads, including expressway and emergency lane and so on, should be more than 3.1 meter. You cannot have anything less. Otherwise, how would these vehicles going to, you know, ply the road? It's not possible. So 3.1 meter, meaning to say that you have got to design your road more than 3.1 meter. So the international standard for a lane on the expressway is 3.5 meter. So that means they are giving allowance of 0.2 meter on each side of the vehicle. Now, our emergency lane on all the expressways is only 2.2 meter. So that's why whenever there are lorries stopping along the emergency lanes, then you have problems.
Okay, so there is a clear mismatch there in terms of road size and vehicle size.
I try to simplify these things. You know, they are very technical. If you talk to engineers, civil engineers, road engineers, and so on, they will understand what I'm talking about. Mm. But I want to bring it down to a level where the common readers can understand, you know, the technical aspect of this. It's not very, very difficult to understand. Mm. And I do not know why all these years we have been adopting this standard. You know, I think it was okay when the traffic was very light. When we designed North-South Highway, the traffic was not as heavy as they are now. Mm. But in the situation where the traffic becomes more and more heavy over the years, then you have got this problem because more vehicles mean there are more vehicles stopping on emergency lane. Mm-hmm. So that's when you got all these accidents.
Rosli, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning and sharing your insights. That was transport consultant Dr. Rosli Han giving some of his recommendations on issues that the new Minister of Transport should be considering in his second term in office.
Yeah, somebody needs to quickly repair the situation because I think the residents in the Klang Valley are just feeling the pressure when it comes to going to work, coming back from work. You know, commutes take so long and we're just wasting a lot of time. And I wonder whether in the first place, you know, the transportation model is flawed. Is money the only solution though?
Well, we'll be watching this space very closely. It's coming up to 8:50 in the morning. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.